Children, did anyone ever call you? And how did they call you? You might get a... Perhaps someone is calling you to come to dinner. Is that an officer of the law calling to me to stop? Is that the teacher saying, recess is over, come back to your classes? Did anyone ever call you? How did they call you? Did they blow a whistle? We most often call each other these days on the phone. I used to have cows. My cows would be off in a pasture somewhere. I might have to go looking for them. But when it was time to move them to a new pasture, I would go to the gate, and hopefully where I could see the cows, and I would call. And those cows would look up and come running because they knew that on the other side of the gate was fresh grass, and they were tired of eating in the old dried out pasture. So why might somebody call you? Why might somebody call you? To find out how you are. Good, good. Yeah. To get you to do something. That's right. Why might somebody call you? To show that they love you. Yes. I'm thinking of you, and I was called to call. I got this feeling inside, or this thought in my mind. I should call my friend. I haven't seen them in a while, and see how they are. When the Lord was in the world, he called 12 people to be his disciples. Do you know what a disciple is? Somebody who follows. Yeah, the word comes from learning, from the word to learn, and so anyone who is learning from somebody else, or from the Lord, or from common wisdom. And so in that sense, anyone who's learning anything is a disciple. Hopefully this morning we are all disciples and we'll learn something. Why do you suppose the Lord called his disciples? I think some of the things we've said already would be good answers to that question. He wanted them to do something. He wanted them to know that they were special and loved. He wanted them to learn. And there were many things that they would be asked by the Lord to do. Much important work. Let's read in Matthew chapter 4, the Lord's calling of the first four of his disciples. One day Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee. There he saw two brothers, Simon Peter and his brother Andrew. They were throwing a net into the lake because they were fishermen. Come and follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers. They were James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father, Zebedee. As they were preparing their nets, Jesus called out to them. Right away, they left the boat and their father and followed Jesus. So we could say the names of those first four disciples. There's Peter, Andrew, James, and John. And in the stories of the gospel, we read about especially the first Peter, James, and John. So what were these men doing when the Lord called them? They were fishing. Anyone here fished before? A few of us. A few of us have gone fishing. Yeah, so what does a fisherman do? A fisherman might today use a rod and reel, right? Or they might, in those days, they used nets, often casting nets, where they would, it's really fun to watch. You take a net and you have it all folded up in a special way and you whirl it around and it goes out. It's got weights along the outside edge and it lands in the water. And then the weights bring the outside edge down deep into the water. And then you pull in and gather together the bottom. And hopefully you've caught fish in the net. And then you can take the fish and you can sell it or you can feed your family or other people can feed their family. So it's important work that the disciples were doing. But the Lord had a higher use for those disciples in mind. And that higher use was, he said, I will make you fishers of men, or you will catch men. I wonder what the disciples thought that meant when the Lord said that to them. He says, come, and I will make you fishers of men. They probably had no idea in the world that later on, after the Lord had taught them for 3 years, after they had followed him and seen all the wonderful things that he had done, that they would take this good news and they would carry it out into the whole world, almost like throwing a casting net out into the whole world. And they would gather in people who responded to that message they were sharing, were excited about the news of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into the world and rising from the dead, and they would begin to gather, and the whole world would be filled with the church that they established. It would be almost everywhere that there were people in time. But they didn't know that. That was something they couldn't have imagined. And there was nothing wrong with being a fisherman. But the Lord had something special for these people to do. And he knew, because the Lord knows everything and he knows our hearts, he knew that when he called these people, they were the ones who would be able to do what they needed to do to build his church. At the very end of his ministry, the Lord met with his disciples. And this was after Easter. He was at the Sea of Galilee. He had called his disciples to him and appeared to them after he rose from the grave. And this is what he said to them. So you must go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, and you can be sure that I am always with you to the very end. So does the Lord call people these days? Yes. Yes, indeed. And some of them are famous people. Mother Teresa came to my mind. Florence Nightingale, who was the first professional nurse, really, started the profession of nursing in England. Nelson Mandela had this vision and of bringing the country of South Africa together. And you can probably think of lots of other famous people. How about Emanuel Swedenborg? Swedenborg tells how he realized that through his whole life, the Lord was preparing him. And it was like the Lord called him to do a lot of different things along the way to prepare. He was a student. He traveled the world as a student. He studied under people all over the world to learn about all the natural sciences. He was very interested in science, but that was because he wanted to explain that the soul, which is spiritual, operates in the body and is connected, and that everything that the body does is from the soul. And that's something he believed as a scientist, because he had a spiritual perspective on things. But it was after he had been working for years, in his 50s, working for years to explain and understand how the Lord was revealed in the natural sciences, that the Lord opened the eyes of his spirit, and he began to see into the spiritual world, into heaven, and to learn and be taught all kinds of wonderful things. And he was told by the Lord that he was to see and understand these things in his mind and write them down and publish them so that all people could hear. So is it a rare experience or a common experience to be called by the Lord? Common, yes. I knew you knew that. Yes. Sometimes we think of calling in that sense of great people get called. Or when a person is a young person and he begins to think that perhaps he should be a pastor, then he might say, I was called by the Lord. And people have all kinds of different experiences of what that calling was like. So I'd like to read in the book of Exodus, because it talks about a calling in a way that we might not think of as a calling. This is Exodus chapter 2, and it's the story of Moses and how, because all baby boys who were Israelites were commanded to be put to death at birth in Egypt. The Egyptians were afraid that the Israelites were growing into a great and powerful nation. And so they said, all baby boys have to be put to death. And Moses' mother had a baby boy, and she didn't want him to be put to death. So she put him in this little basket, And she had his sister, Miriam, take the basket down and put it in the rushes at the edge of the river and see what would happen. And Pharaoh's daughter, the ruler of the land, came down to the water and saw that basket. Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile River to take a bath. Her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket in the tall grass. So she sent her female slave to get it. When she opened it, Pharaoh's daughter saw the baby. He was crying. She felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Anything could have happened. She could have said, "They have to be put to death. My father, the Pharaoh, has commanded." Then the little baby's sister, who was hiding nearby, came out and said, she spoke to Pharaoh's daughter. She asked, "Do you want me to go and get one of the Hebrew women? She could breastfeed the baby for you." And Pharaoh's daughter said, "Yes, go." So the girl went and got the baby's own mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and feed him for me, and I'll pay you." So the woman took the baby and fed him. And of course, we all know the rest of the story of Moses. Swedenborg talks about this in the Arcana Celestia, number 6737. He writes, "And she took pity on him means being alerted by the divine." This is clear from the meaning of taking pity as an influx of charity from the Lord. For when anyone looks with charity on someone in distress, as Pharaoh's daughter does here on the child crying in the box made of rushes, a feeling of compassion is aroused. And since the feeling is stirred by the Lord, it is an alerting by him. Indeed, when people who are perceptive have feelings of compassion, they know that they are being alerted by the Lord to offer help. There are lots of different stories about being called by the Lord, and that's one of my favorites because it's such a common and everyday experience that we feel called to respond in some way. Our heart is touched. Sometimes it's dramatic because we're in a relationship and we're struggling, perhaps feeling at odds with one another, and then somehow the Lord asks us to feel different. And we have an opportunity to respond. Of course, we don't always say yes. In fact, there's so much neediness all around us that sometimes it's really hard to know how to deal with those feelings of compassion. And there are many other reasons why we might not say yes when the Lord alerts us or touches our hearts or arouses in us that feeling of compassion. We might say, "I'm too busy. I just have to get where I'm going, and I don't have time for this." We might be saying, "I don't care. I'm not interested in these people's problems. We might feel inadequate. The job is just too big for me. This is something society has to fix, or this is something somebody else with more power or money has to do something about. And sometimes we're just plain afraid. Maybe we're afraid of the other people. We're afraid of what people might say or think. Or we're afraid because we just don't know how it's going to turn out if we try to respond. And these aren't things that I'm going to be able to say, and here's the easy answer. Because it's not an easy answer most of the time, knowing how to respond. But I think it's helpful to remember what the Lord said to his disciples at that great commissioning when he sent them out throughout the whole world. And he said, "And you can be sure that I am always with you to the very end." It wasn't easy being one of the Lord's disciples. Some of them were put to death. Some of them were put in jail. But they did the work, and the Lord was with them, and the Lord gave them the results. You can be sure I am always with you to the very end. So I just want to quickly give one more short story about the Lord's calling, because it's been present here in this service in a couple of places. It's the prophet Isaiah, and he had this vision. And it was a very scary vision, and he was filled with fear. And an angel came and took a burning coal and touched his lips. We read in Isaiah, "Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it. And he said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged.' Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" And it's only the Lord who can purify our lips or purge the selfishness from our hearts or give us the guidance that we need when we feel called. But if we do, surely the Lord will help us. I hope that, like the prophet Isaiah, I become more and more willing to do the same and say, "Here am I, send me." Amen.